the Antiwhite system and tune in to the Pearl White system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday the 30th of May 2019 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting live today at radioarian.com because we have with us Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from rustjournal.org. Matt, how are you doing today? Have you got the air conditioning off? Are you melting into a puddle there?
No, I'm not at risk of heat stroke or any heat-related diseases or afflictions now. It's got a little cooler. So there's no risk to my health. So thank God for that.
Excellent, excellent. Well, that is good news, but we have got a risk to the mental health of the general public, which we're going to be talking about today, and that is transgenderism. And that's because the World Health Organization has dropped transgenderism from the list of mental disorders. So basically, we are all going to have a mental disorder ourselves by pretending that people that dress up as women are actually women, and we're going to have to pretend that this is completely normal, which I think is a disorder in itself. This comes from USA Today, and this is about this World Health Organization change. The move has been said to have the potential to liberate trans and non-binary people worldwide, making the route to legal transition draw closer. The decision was approved on Friday the 25th of May by the World Health Assembly, the WHO governing body that represents 194 member states, and should trickle down to national policies. However, an evolving scientific understanding of gender and numerous advocates and transgender activists around the world speaking up for the lives of trans people have been key in seeing this result. Graham Reed, LGBT rights director at Human Rights Watch, said the WHO's removal of gender identity disorder from its diagnostic manual will have a liberating effect on transgender people worldwide. Governments should swiftly reform national medical systems and laws that require this now officially outdated diagnosis. And note, there is absolutely no new evidence mentioned there. All that is mentioned is these transgender activists, and they appear to have got their way.
What kind of – this is supposed to be a scientific organization. What does activists and promote, homosexual activists have to do with anything? There's no breakthrough study here. There's no brand new evidence that's taken the world by storm. It's just force. Same thing for when the APA removed homosexuality back in, I think it was 74. It was the exact same thing. There was no book that came, oh my God, this study that we've done, we've discovered. It's not. No, it's just force on these people. I mean, what does liberating have to do with it? This is a scientific issue having nothing to do with, but this entire thing is politicized. The WHO is politicized. And unfortunately, this doesn't make the mental health field look very good, because it's true. It's the only field where they vote on whether or not something is a disease or not. And now we know, political pressure has everything to do with this. Can you imagine saying we've removed bladder cancer from our diagnostic manuals? This will have a liberating effect on cancer sufferers or something like that. It would the language. It's apples and oranges. I can make no sense out of it, except this is simply a matter of force being brought to bear on these people, meaning that governments and corporate America is putting pressure on elites here to do what they want.
Well, it seems to me that it's the doctors and the scientists themselves. They're the ones that have a disorder if they think that this is perfectly normal to want to wound yourself and cut your genitals off. I mean, these people, this wound that they have, this gaping wound that they have in their body, for the rest of their lives, it's trying to repair itself. They have to put things in there to prevent it from healing up. That's what it is. It's a wound. So it's wounding. It's like self-harm. If this was anybody else that was doing this, they would be locked up to prevent themselves from harming themselves. And yet we've got doctors that are doing this. Now, I've been trying to think, if they're going to say that this isn't a disorder, we must come up with some kind of word that we can actually call these doctors. And I thought, well, it's transgender hysteria, isn't it? It's a hysteria. It's like an epidemic. It's catching people. Just the more people talk about it, the more people believe it. And when I looked up what the word hysteria means, it says that they now call it conversion disorder. And I thought, well, that's perfect. Transgender conversion disorder. That's what these doctors have got. They've got a disorder. They think that men can be turned into women just by giving them hormones. It's impossible. And what is this about liberating trans and non-binary people worldwide? You're oppressing everybody else by saying that they've got to say that the emperor's got these fantastic new clothes when he's not. He's naked. Once again, it's the same thing. We're being told 2 and 2 equals 5. We're being told that black equals white. And we've got the actual quote here from the WHO site, and it says, "What does the ICD revision aim to do for transgender health?" Okay, so they're saying it's going to be healthy for them. So what is it going to do for their health? ICD-11 has redefined gender identity-related health, replacing diagnostic categories like ICD-10's transsexualism and gender identity disorder of children, with gender incongruence of adolescent and adulthood, and gender incongruence of childhood, respectively. Gender incongruence has thus broadly been moved out of the mental and behavioural disorders chapter and into the new conditions related to sexual health chapter. This reflects evidence that trans-related and gender-diverse identities are not conditions of mental ill health, and classifying them as such can cause enormous stigma. Inclusion of gender incongruence in the ICD should ensure transgender people's access to gender-affirming healthcare, as well as adequate health insurance coverage for such services. Recognition in the ICD also acknowledges the links between gender identity, sexual behaviour, exposure to violence, and sexually transmitted infections. And remember, this is about gender identity disorder of children, and it's now been put into a category of conditions related to sexual health, where it's mixed up with sexual behaviour and sexually transmitted infections. The word children shouldn't even be in the same sentence as sexual health. And this is being completely normalised here. These are kids. They shouldn't have any understanding of these sort of things. To think that they do is madness. Matt, what do you think of this?
Every doctor that came to this meeting knows that this is nonsense. Every doctor learned in medical school that your gender, your sex, I should say, is imprinted in every cell in your body. And there's nothing you could do about that. That the very definition of insanity is to believe you're something that you're not. You know, if you believe you're a bird, if you believe that you're a hippopotamus, you are crazy. And it's no different in this case. And they admit the reason I quoted this particular section is that they admit that this has nothing to do with medicine. It's to remove stigmas against these people. They're making moral judgments. They're making political judgments that they have no business making. And then, of course, they have to include health insurance coverage as one of the reasons for doing this, meaning that there's more money towards these people, that they can make more claims on this basis because it's not a problem anymore. It's no different than pretending that you're a hippopotamus and everyone claiming that that's okay. And yeah, you know, you doctors are voting, you know, and it just shows you that the mental illness diagnoses are nonsense. No one has ever biopsied a tumor and said, "Oh my God, you have schizophrenia." That's not how it works. The very fact you could vote on this stuff shows that it's not really science. And the fact that it's done for purely political, they admit that it's done for political and social motives, prove that it's not science. And every doctor in this room knows it's BS. That it goes against everything they learned in med school.
Yeah, they've gone along with it. I mean, one part of that as well is that with this medical health insurance, and I guess it means that instead of trying to cure them for this, what they're going to do is they're going to say, well, the health service has to pay for hormone injections, and it has to pay for plastic surgery and all these other things that these people think are going to solve their problems, but they don't solve their problems. They don't solve their problems at all. I mean, half the time they give them these hormone injections, and because they've got the injections of the opposite sex, they don't want to have sex anymore. So they don't actually fancy their own kind anymore. And they think, well, that hasn't actually fixed it. Maybe once I have the chop, then it will fix it. Because that's what they've been encouraged to do by the doctors. And then when they do that, there's no going back. And they've got this horrible gaping wound there. And they end up committing suicide. I mean, it's so twisted. Continuing with what they say here, the WHO, they say legal gender recognition represented through documents reflecting a person's gender identity is important for protection, dignity, and health. Many countries in the WHO European region impose a number of conditions on changing documents, including the requirements to undergo sterilization. Human rights bodies conclude that these sterilization requirements run counter to respect for bodily integrity, self-determination, and human dignity, and can cause and perpetuate discrimination against transgender people. So what's this all about? Because it just seems to me that, I mean, what has this got to do with medicine? Legal gender recognition.
That's exactly my point. What scientific body is going to quote human rights bodies or human rights institutions? What do they have to do with anything? These are moral and political judgments. They have nothing to do with science. And human rights bodies deciding what's a disease and what isn't? Since what the WHO has no right to talk about self-determination or human dignity, whatever that is, because human dignity is so manifest in chopping off healthy organs. And any doctor that chops off healthy organs isn't a doctor anymore. He violates his Hippocratic Oath. Chopping off healthy organs is the very definition of quackery. It's the very definition of being a bed. It's medical malpractice. And this is why the clown world, the honk honks, I mean, I was hostile to that at first, but now I get it. We say honk honk to all this stuff. There really is no other answer to it because there's no rationality here. Human rights bodies are going to decide what's a disease and what isn't, and what's male and what's female. Again, I'll say it again. Every doctor at this body knows that this is BS and they have to sign on it anyway.
Well, it seems to me that to sterilize them does actually make sense because they're trying to avoid situations where you've got somebody that looks like a male and they've got an appendage that's been put on them, and yet they're also still capable of getting pregnant because they're actually a woman and they have IVF. And then you get these ridiculous news stories about, oh, father is pregnant, which obviously just confuses all the people around, confuses the children. They don't know what to put on the birth certificate. So it better all round for them to be sterilized if they're going to go down this route. But what about everybody else? This is what really gets me. What about my human rights? I don't want to be looking on the television and seeing a news reader, a sports reader, a blonde sports reader that I think is a female, and suddenly I notice that she's got hands as big as dinner plates. And it's obviously not a woman. And I've been looking at this thing thinking, is that a woman? Is it a man? What about the human rights of straight people to not be sexually aroused at their own kind? Because that is likely to happen with this. I mean, what about if somebody is going out dating or whatever, and they're in a bar and they see somebody they think is attractive, they start dating them, and then they discover that it's actually a bloke. I mean, they could end up killing themselves. They could end up killing this bloke that they thought was a woman. All sorts of things could happen. What about our human rights as straight people not to be tricked like that, not to be deceived like that? I mean, that would be absolutely horrific for that to happen for somebody. And yet, as far as I'm aware, there's no legal requirement for these people to admit what sex that they are. And there should be, if they're going to be going out there trying to get intimate with people, because it's an horrific idea thinking that you might be with your own, with your own gender there. Do you know what I mean?
It's very rare. I mean, I know there are exceptions out there, and I have the feeling the person you're talking about on television is heavily made up and heavily Photoshop, so to speak, on television. But I have never seen one of these freaks that doesn't look like a freak of nature. I've never seen a man becoming a woman, so to speak, here and look really looking like a woman. They all look terrible. They all look ridiculous. It's all very obvious. I don't care how much makeup they put on. If you see them on television, they could mess with the image. They could make them look better than they are. So I think it's only the very rare exception where they really can pull it off and look female. But every one of these freaks I've ever seen, it's really blatant. You know that they're not female whatsoever. It's a parody.
Well, this one on the BBC, I mean, you think, well, hang on, she looks a little bit odd. You know, she's got like a big chin. That looks like a bloke's chin. And you think, well, let's have a look at the hands. And then you realise that it's trying to keep its hands out of the camera. And then you see the hands, and they're a huge bloke's hands. And you think, ah, well, that must be one of these transsexuals. They've got hundreds of transsexuals working at the BBC, far more than actual their percentage of the population. But you get back to these quotes here. The next one we've got is from the Daily Stormer. Insanity no longer a mental illness, according to World Health Organization. They are literally telling you that people who mutilate themselves into looking like a parody of the opposite sex are normal. By the way, this recent meeting they had also declared gaming addiction a mental illness. Because cutting your dick off is perfectly fine and healthy, but playing too much Terraria makes you an effing lunatic. And that's a good point there. That, you know, I do think that, you know, gaming could, you can be addicted. You can be addicted to gaming. You can be addicted to sex. But is it really a mental illness to be addicted to something? It is a mental illness to want to mutilate yourself like this.
You know, I guess the gaming community doesn't have the lobby. Right. The size of these freaks. You know, these freaks are as you said, a minuscule proportion of the population. You have people who now, because of saturation coverage, no one ever wanted to see this. They're not filling the market. They're not responding to demand. No one wants to know about this stuff. No one demanded to see this stuff. It's a handful of people. They're ramming it down our throats. The agenda is far more important than even covering news. There's no demand that these people are filling here. And it's simply, at some point the regime decided this is what we're going to push. We're going to not destroy the family. We're going to destroy the individual now. We're going to destroy their identity right at the very root. And so rebellion against our rules is going to be impossible if they don't even know what they are. We'll create so much chaos. But the very fact that they claim that playing too many video games is a mental illness at the exact same time, slashing off healthy organs is not. That's why I included this, is that this is beyond comedy. Even 10 years ago, no one would have believed this.
Well, thankfully, there are people speaking up against it. We've got a Johns Hopkins psychiatrist here and a quote from an article from him called "It is starkly, nakedly false that sex change is possible." He says, "Most young boys and girls who come seeking sex reassignment are utterly different from Bruce Jenner. They have no erotic interest driving their quest. Rather, they come with psychosocial issues, conflicts over the prospects, expectations, and roles that they sense are attached to their given sex, and presume that sex reassignment will ease or resolve them. But the grim fact is that most of these youngsters do not find therapists willing to assess and guide them in ways that permit them to work out their conflicts and correct their assumptions. Rather, they and their families find only gender counselors who encourage them in their sexual misassumptions. There are several reasons for this absence of coherence in our mental health system. Important among them is the fact that both the state and federal governments are actively seeking to block any treatments that can be construed as challenging the assumptions and choices of transgendered youngsters. As part of our dedication to protecting America's youth, this administration supports efforts to ban the use of conversion therapy for minors," said Valerie Jarrett, a senior advisor to President Obama. in two states, a doctor who would look into the psychological history of a transgendered boy or girl in search of a resolvable conflict could lose his or her license to practice medicine. By contrast, such a physician would not be penalized if he or she started such a patient on hormones that would block puberty and might stunt growth. And I'll just add here, and also cause their bones to crumble. That's the other thing with this, and also cause sterilization. In fact, gender dysphoria, the official psychiatric term for feeling oneself to be of the opposite sex, belongs in the family of similarly disordered assumptions about the body, such as anorexia nervosa and body dysmorphic disorder. Its treatment should not be directed at the body, as with surgery and hormones, any more than one treats obesity-fearing anorexic patients with liposuction. The treatment should strive to correct the false problematic nature of the assumption and to resolve the psychosocial conflicts provoking it. With youngsters, this is best done in family therapy. I mean, I would suggest that a lot of this is caused by hormone disruptors in the environment. Men's average testosterone levels have dropped by 20% in the last 20 years. And to the opposite of this, I would say these men that think they're women, I mean, maybe they should be giving them more male hormones, not more female hormones, because we have these disruptors in the environment. I think this is part of what is causing this, Matt, along with all the promotion of it on the TV and in the schools.
Yeah, McHugh has become pretty famous for this. He's still functioning there, and he really makes fun of this whole thing. And he says, you're not allowed, you know, this is an obvious severe mental disorder these people have, thinking that there's something else. You're not allowed to talk about that. You simply give them drugs to pretend to make them into something else. Once they allegedly become this something else, they're far worse off than before. All the research says that that's where the suicides happen. That's where the extreme depression happens. McHugh has not only authored studies in this respect, but has cited hundreds of them, saying the worst happens when these people actually pretend to become something else. Then it gets very bad because it doesn't solve their problem, proving the point. Proving that A, you can't become another sex, and B, it doesn't solve, you know, that's not the issue. You know, an anorexic looks into the mirror, she's skin and bones, and she literally only sees a fat slob. It's pure delusion. It's in this, that's what he's saying here. This is the exact same category. You should feel sorry for these people. They need therapy. They need sympathy because there's obviously something very wrong with them. And saying that, you know, treating obesity fearing anorexics with liposuction is humorous, but it's very darkly humorous. He knows exactly what he's talking about. He knows the whole thing is phony. There's no medical scientific foundation for it. But he seems to be one of the few who's speaking out.
Well, I think a big part of this problem is if they're told that they can actually change sex, and they've got this hope that they'll be all right once they've had the operation, or they'll be all right once they've had the hormones. They have the hormones, they're not all right, but they've got this hope that they are going to be all right once they've had the operation. They have the operation and they realize it hasn't actually changed me into a woman. And then it's done, and they've got nothing left that they can hope for. So that is obviously going to lead them to feeling suicidal. Because up to that point, they did actually have some hope, even though it was a false hope. Really, they want to be told this, which is the results of an Israeli study of all people. Israeli researchers disprove transgender propaganda. A recent study released from Israel's Weizmann Institute of Science refutes propaganda from LGBT activists who detach gender completely from sex and promote the idea that men can become so-called women by merely identifying as female and vice versa. Professor Shmuel Petrakovsky and Dr. Moran Gershoni, both researchers from the Weizmann Institute's Molecular Genetics Department, looked closely at around 20,000 protein-coding genes, sorting them by sex and searching for differences in expression in each tissue. They eventually identified around 6,500 genes with activity that was biased towards one sex or the other in at least one tissue, adding to the already major biological differences between men and women. Petrakovsky and Gershoni found genes that were highly expressed in the skin of men relative to that in women's skin, and they realized that these were related to the growth of body hair. Gene expression for muscle building was higher in men. That for fat storage was higher in women. Aside from the sexual organs, the researchers discovered quite a few sex-linked genes in the mammary glands, about half of which were expressed in men. Because men have fully fitted but basically non-functional mammary equipment, the scientists believe that some of these genes might suppress lactation. So this shows that it's not just about the sexual organs, is it? That's what this is saying, isn't it?
Yeah. And I have the abstract after this. We don't have to mention it. But one of the reasons I think the Israelis were free to do this is that they knew they can get away with it. If this came out of Yale, you know, the doctors would be fired. Because these are Israelis, it's I don't think it would be an issue. It's just going to be ignored. But we really never needed a study to tell us what everyone already knew. The genetics to produce organs are going to be different in one sex than the other. And it just proves that our genetic makeup created at conception is completely different, and it's stamped on every micro inch of our body, every cell in our body. There's nothing you can do about that. And I think, as we mentioned before, when these freaks realize that, they get very depressed, and they're not allowed to be told that. So they're not being done a service here. These people are pathetic and need sympathy. There's something very wrong with them, and it's not their fault. But to try to mobilize the handful of them that suffer, you know, this is, and I think the Israelis are, know that they can get away with it. An American couldn't.
Well, it should get more publicity that. I mean, men have XY chromosomes and women have XX chromosomes. And what that basically means is that in the womb, first off, if it's a boy or a girl, it doesn't really make any difference. But then you get like a testosterone burst if you're XY chromosomes, and then you continue to evolve. Boys continue to evolve in the womb, and they evolve different obviously the different sexual parts, but also different muscles, different bones, different density of bones, completely different. And you can't reverse that. You can't just take female hormones and reverse that. Taking female hormones will just cause your bones to crumble, because you need testosterone for your bones. Women need estrogen.
The ancient Gnostic idea was that the natural world was not created by God. It was created by the demiurgos. It is imperfect, and it's up to the mind of elite men to remake nature, to replace it with something else. That nature is this prison. It's something that we have to fight and get out. That's the ancient Gnostic idea, which was that found itself in the Kabbalah and in modern, you know, right up into industrialization, comes from the Gnostic concept. And that's the ultimate, you know, ancient demonic root of this stuff.
And this Jewish idea of perfecting the world, it's not quite right that, you know, the Jews need to perfect it. That's what this Tikkun Olam thing is. But there is a simple cure for this. There is a simple cure for this. If this study is to believe, this is from 1996. Study showed gender dysphoria and transgenderism successfully treated with common drugs. Over 20 years ago, long before the public was flooded with pro-transgender normalization propaganda, a study published in the Australian and New Zealand Journal of Psychiatry demonstrated that gender dysphoria can in fact be successfully treated with common psychiatric drugs. And this isn't fake news, this is a proper study, you can look it up on the internet. And this is the abstract objective. The case is reported of a gender dysphoric patient who responded successfully to pharmacotherapy with pimazide. Clinical picture, an adult male patient with a borderline learning disability. Now, remember that, because we keep being told that about a third to half of these transgenders are actually autistic. So that's a learning disability. An adult male patient with a borderline learning disability presented with cross-dressing and a strong wish to undergo a sex change. Treatment, supportive psychotherapy and pharmacotherapy with pimazide was tried. Outcome, there was an excellent response to pimazide 2 milligrams daily with a cessation of both cross-dressing and the wish for sex reassignment. When after 1 year the dose was reduced to 1 milligram daily, there was a rapid return of the cross-dressing and the wish for sex reassignment. An increase in the dose again led to a remission which has been maintained since then. Conclusion, pharmacotherapy with pimazide should be considered in cases of doubtful gender dysphoria. And I find those last three words there particularly interesting, because they can't say for gender dysphoria, because that would now be illegal because that's not affirming somebody's gender identity. So they have to put, well, it could only be considered in cases of doubtful gender dysphoria. And of course, doctors can't say that anymore. They can't say, well, it could be autism that's causing this. It could be body dysmorphia that's causing this. It could be child abuse that's causing this. It could be your parents that are causing this. Doctors can't say any of that anymore because it's not affirming a person's chosen identity. And yet this drug would probably work for all of them.
Pimazide is an antipsychotic, believe it or not, was initially developed to treat Tourette syndrome. So now this is only one person that this study is dealing with, but there's no reason why it couldn't be extended to others. If it works with one, I'm sure it will be working with others. This may suggest that there's a connection between those two afflictions. Something that was designed to treat Tourette syndrome works on this. I think it's the trade name is ORAP, O-R-A-P. I've never heard of it before today, but it is it represses dopamine, like all antipsychotics do. So clearly, this alone shows that this is a mental illness.
There's very little about this online as well. I suspect that there was political pressure put on them to silence this. If I was a parent and I had a child that was having these problems, you know, I'd be looking at getting this antidepressant and trying that rather than going to these, you know, these guidance counselors that are just going to encourage the person to carry on with the delusion, particularly now that the WHO have gone along with it as well. But that is a good bit of news to finish with, that you know, there is hope for these people. There is this drug and it has been shown to work. Thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Grandpa Lampshade. God bless and hail victory.
Radio Aryan. At radioaryan.com.